bloke who spent some time here at Adderley 260, rub shoulders with him. It's great to have him on the program. Now working hard down at the Freo Dockers is Peter Bell, a bloke that you know well. Hayes joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Belly.
Pleasure to be with you.
How are you, mate? You're going okay? You're hanging in there?
Yeah, it's certainly been an interesting couple of weeks, or longer than a couple of weeks, obviously. But and at times it's presented its challenges, but nothing that large cohorts of the community aren't going through. And as tough as it is for the football industry, there's plenty of other industries that are in a similar position.
Now, Pete, how much have you been involved in what is happening behind the scenes, mate? Because we find ourselves in a difficult place with borders closed. But talk at the AFL about creating three hubs. Given that we've got borders closed, it's something that will be interesting to navigate through.
Yeah, it will be. So the general managers of football have been catching up with Steve Hocking regularly, and also, you know, that the guys have WhatsApp groups and are just sharing a bit of intelligence where possible, and ideas and concerns and all these types of things. So we've been in a lot of conversations with the AFL. I hadn't heard too much about the idea of the hubs, if you like, in Western Australia, South Australia and Tasmania. So heard about those more through the media, but had certainly been parts of discussions of having carnival type setups if the need arose in various clubs and places, and also the idea of perhaps Fremantle and some of the other interstate clubs travelling into Victoria and playing a number of games over a shorter period of time, if that's what it came to. So certainly had conversations about compression in the season, but yeah, look, I was interested to hear some of the media reports about these ideas of hubs, and I guess the NRL are progressing their own ideas in that space as well.
I guess it all relates to when the season finally gets underway, Pete. I think that's probably the answer we all need before we start looking at too many different scenarios. Have you been given any indication about when the AFL might look to start?
No, not really. Obviously, when we initially went into the postponement phase, we were told that the AFL would make the call on around April the 27th, and they'd like to get players back by, I think it was May the 4th, with a view to playing by June the 1st, after a sort of another pre-season runway into the season. What we do know is a lot of these decisions are out of our hands, and the AFL itself is guided by the federal health experts and the governments. And what complicates the matters, I suppose, is that every state and territory is a little bit different as well. Some have border restrictions, others have certain quarantining rules as well. So it's going to be a really difficult task to take all of those different considerations and then come up with a plan for the season moving forward. But a lot of people are putting a lot of time into that, and I'm confident that we'll get to a space whereby we can begin the season again, or recommence the season, and do the right thing by the community at the same time.
Games every night of the week, double, triple headers have been spoken about. I guess it relies a little bit on the fitness of the players and the programs that they're able to achieve throughout the period when they're in isolation. What have you been giving the players to do through this period, and are you confident they're all doing that?
Reasonable levels of confidence. The guys are really professional, and they'll be working hard. No matter how hard they work in isolation, it's not going to be the same as working together at the club, that's for sure. So, I'm confident that all the players from all the clubs will come back in very good shape, whenever that may be. And then if it means that we're playing football in a compressed state to get the season away and get the season finished, then I'm sure the guys will rise to the occasion. At the same time, though, we have to make sure that player health and safety is paramount. We don't want guys getting injured. We don't want guys getting into situations where perhaps they sustain serious injuries. So with that in mind, perhaps there'll be scope for more players on the interchange bench. Perhaps there'll be scope for other things, other mechanisms that we can trigger to take a bit of a load off the players. I think the shorter quarters were one thing, the longer breaks after each goal as well. And we did hear after one round of footy, and I know it's only a short sample size, we heard after one round of footy that guys were ready to go again in sort of 4 or 5 days. So it'd be interesting to see if they still feel the same way as we get further into a compressed season. But what it will allow is a number of players to get exposure to play AFL when the season does get underway.
Hey, Pete, what I did like is that the good players stayed on for longer, including Nathan Fyfe, who didn't come off the ground.
Yeah, Fifey and Sonny Walters played quite a bit of the game time as well. And I suppose that's another part of it, that the best players perhaps potentially will be able to be out on the ground for longer, given that the game time overall is shorter. I'm not sure how that would translate. I'll leave that to the strength conditioning guys and the high performance managers, how that would translate over if it is to be a 17-game season or 144 games from here. They can work that out. But if it means that the best players are out there for longer, then I'm sure all the fans will be really happy with that.
Bally, how much information have you been given about list sizes going forward? We have heard it could be reduced down to 35, but as a football manager, is that what you're hearing through the AFL?
Not through the AFL. There's obviously been a bit of talk about it through the media and the like, and clearly financially the game will be under a bit of pressure depending on what this season would look like. But we're modelling on a number of different outcomes. Look, it's very complicated. Hayes, obviously, the RFLPA would be involved. Clearly, there's contracts in place, so there'll be a number of players. I mean, clubs might have more than 35 players contracted for next year, so there's the legalities as well. Look, I'm hopeful that club lists will stay somewhere around where they are at the moment, because look, it'll be disappointing to lose players from the system. But at the end of the day, we're all going to also be under financial pressures as well, like I said, depending on what the rest of 2020 looks like.
I saw an article which included Paul Hazelby mentioning about the future, and that is recruiting young players and 18-year-olds, and he suggested that should be limited to two, Pete. With that situation, when the youngsters aren't playing, how do you see that unfolding towards the back end of the year when we'll be looking at the young talent and trying to integrate them into the competition?
Yeah, I think depending on how much the season is compressed, potentially the younger talent will be called upon for the very reason that Hayes spoke about earlier. Maybe there's a game every night, or Fremantle or West Coast or Brisbane or whichever club might be asked to play a number of games in a really short space of time. So you can manage that with the increased rotations or increased numbers on the interchange. But at some stage, you feel like you're going to have to be calling on everybody. And that's exciting because the guys have been drafted for a reason. They've got a lot of talent. The traditional way of doing it was to really build them over a period of time. Most of the guys, sometimes as outliers, you come in and perform from day one. But I think with season 2020, anything's possible. And I think the fans would be excited by that, from exposing all the guys on the list to an opportunity. And perhaps we'll get a few surprises as well if that eventuates.
Bally, if the AFL draft was taking place tomorrow, would your recruiters be ready for that? Would they already have their top 100 selected?
I think the recruiting teams are so well organised and do so much work over a number of years that I think all the recruiting teams would be reasonably comfortable going into a draft, even if there were no under-18s football or second-tier football played for the remainder of this year. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but if recruiting teams did go in, I think they've got a fair amount of intelligence already that they've gathered over the previous couple of years of watching these young players develop, that they go in and they'll be armed with a lot of information. Obviously, it'd be better if there was more exposed form from 2020 before the 2020 draft, but I think they'd still do a pretty good job, Hayes.
One positive, Bally, is the injury list of Fremantle should be coming down with a few weeks off. Mundy, Pearce, Wilson, Blake Akers amongst them. Are those guys almost ready to go? And how is it working with a few of those injured players?
Yeah, that's the really difficult one in this sort of postponed period, is making sure that the guys who really needed the intensive treatment to rehabilitate their injuries are still able to get that whilst abiding by community guidelines as well. So it's a fine line and a bit of a balancing act, but they're all going well, progressing well. And in fact, some of those players you mentioned may have been available round two if we had have got to a round two a couple of weeks ago. So they're in a good space now. They'll continue to build, and fingers crossed when we do come back, we'll be close to full strength.
I did just read an update on the club's website. Jesse Hogan seems to be progressing pretty well.
I can't say too much about Jesse, but he's in a good space and we'll continue to support him.
Good stuff, Billy. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it, mate. Take care.
Anytime at all, guys. Thank you.